You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Document title, A Time For. A Time For? Yes, it is Friday again, and time for a new podcast. Time flies. Not enough hours in a day. The money is spent before we earn it. Oh, remember the days. All statements that have to do with time. God and His time are as difficult to understand as patience is for oh so many people. There was a song that was played on the radio many times when I was a child. Still am one, though. This song, released on October 1st, 1965 by the Byrds, was called Turn, Turn, Turn. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh, a time to weep. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, 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 and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to build up, a time to break down, a time to dance, a time to mourn, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. To everything, turn, 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 there is a season, turn, 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 and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time of love, a time of hate, a time of war, a time of peace, a time you may embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. To everything, turn, 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 there is a season, turn, 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 and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to gain, a time to lose, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time for love, a time for hate, a time for peace. I swear it's not too late. I believe that this more or less captures life. It also brings us back to the question about time. Yesterday was our grandson's birthday, and without being there, I know he had problems. The first problem was before his birthday. The waiting was just too long. It felt like it would never come. I'm going to have my birthday, I'm going to have my birthday. The second problem was that on his birthday, the day was over before it had even started. So taken up in the events, time just flew by. What a wonderful thing that God has given us in the womb. An empty brain, no reference of time. Can you imagine 9 months of anticipation for your day of birth? We would have driven Mama crazy if we had any concept of time at that point. God says in the Psalms that He knew us then, and that He knows us now, and that He will know us in the future. This is one of my favorite Psalms. Psalm chapter 139, verse 1 to 16, from the New International Version, 1984. O Lord, You have searched me, and You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, You know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from Your Spirit? Where can I flee from Your presence? If I go up to the heavens, You are there. If I make my bed in the depths, You are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there Your hand will guide me, Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God already knew us when we did not yet exist. He also knows the memories people have of us when we are gone. Does this make God very old or not? Many times you hear people say, God's time is not our time. And truly, we can understand why. Someone wants to be healed, and with our impatience and outside the understanding of a time and place for all things under the heavens, the turn time, they want it now, demanding divine healing right here and right now. But what they truly want is a miracle, not healing. Healing is a process. It may take hours, days, or even years. A miracle is just that, instantaneous, in this very moment. Believe me or not, there are many different types of theologians. In this church, you might not see it because we hold fast to the core of what was given biblically, the conservative view. But there are very liberal theologians out there. And some, like Dr. William Dembski, a philosophy professor at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Texas, are trying to give a whole new spin to the creation time, using the Greek words chronos and kairos to explain away the days of creation and even the fall of man. Today, I will rebut this statement and also go into the beauty of God's time. God created heaven and earth, and on the seventh day, he rested. On the sixth day, God created man. And how many times are we reading over one specific little thing? In Hebrew, words have interesting meanings that can open completely new philosophical discussions every time we begin. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, Orthodox Jewish Bible. And Hashem, God, saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was tov me'od, very good. And the Erev and the Boker were Yom Shishi, day 6, the sixth day. What I'm telling you has to do with the word Erev, which does not necessarily mean evening. It is as in our Christmas Eve day, the time in anticipation of what is coming, as in the darkness anticipating the daylight, the Christmas Eve before the day of Christmas. In the Hebrew language, Erev is the day before a Jewish holiday, like in Erev Yom Kippur. Thus, when God says the Erev and the Boker, it is as we would say, and the time before and the time of the morning were the sixth day. This makes a lot of sense in understanding the timing of the earth. When anthropologists, geologists, biologists, and many other ists are trying to discredit the creation story. When God created man, it also started an Erev and Boker for man, which was based upon the cycle of the moon. As God was the creator of light, and God is light, there is no darkness, thus no night for him. And as we can see in the story of creation, this suddenly takes on a whole different meaning. We understand from this that the words night and day in the creation account are really a minimalistic translation, preventing a larger discussion. It should be understood that during the times of the great Bible translations, it was the intention to render it in a way that kept people under control. This, of course, also led to times of uprising, and with that, for instance, the creation of the Wycliffe Bible, But that is a whole different story. As it is explained in the second letter of Peter to the churches, God's time of a single day is like 1,000 years. It could be 100,000 or 500 days, but it is not the same as our day. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 to 9, from the Amplified Bible. For they willfully overlook and forget this fact, that the heavens came into existence long ago by the word of God, and the earth also, which was formed out of water and by means of water, through which the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up, reserved for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly people. Nevertheless, do not let this one fact escape you, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow about what he promises, according to some people's conception of slowness, but he is long-suffering, extraordinarily patient toward you, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should turn to repentance. Which brings me suddenly to another point. Another thing in this time that we will not be able to fully understand, and that is some strong, time-sensitive wording. Always, never, forever. Perhaps we can think of some more. We use these words, don't we? However, these are truly words reserved for God. Oh yes, I use them too. I would never do that, or I will always do this or that, or God, I'll be yours forever. And then the next day, we do something against the will of God. In the soon-to-be-published book, I will be referencing the phylacteries used by our Orthodox brothers and sisters. And part of the scripture referenced is Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18 to 21, from the Amplified Bible. Therefore you shall lay up these my words in your minds and hearts and in your entire being, and bind them for a sign upon your hands and as forehead bands between your eyes. And you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. A promise of the Lord, which uses a time that we can only comprehend as a very, very, very long time, as long as the heavens are above the earth. For you and me, this means the following. When we read the whole text in all the context provided, when we are in the fear of the Lord, which means when we are obeying his will, following his commandments, and listening to his voice, then he will bless us and keep us. He has a place for us in that wonderful New Jerusalem. We teach this law, will, commandments to our children and place his word always in our sight, so that we will not stray away, not backslide into the old self, but remain in the new creation through Christ. This, my friends, also means not only ourselves, but also our possessions, and especially the place we live in, as we read in verse 20. I would like to share a little with you from that new publication, from the Mezuzah, chapter 3. There are many sayings which express the importance of our dwelling place, our home. One that comes to mind is, home is where the heart is, or what about, there is no place like home. These sayings all express the importance of our home, our dwelling place. In Hebrew, the word for human dwelling is dira, while the word for animal dwelling is a deer. The difference between these two words is the letter hey, signifying the name of God. The presence of God in one's home is what distinguishes us as uniquely human. The sages of the Talmud go so far as to say that a man without a homestead is not a man. God, too, desires to be part of your home, the place where you feel comfortable enough to walk around in that hideous shirt, or where you sing an aria in the bathroom. God wants to be in that comfort zone. He wants to be part of that dira, where you worship Him and pray and talk to Him. As our home is a place that has been set aside for our comfort, for our rest, our safety, and our future, it is also an integral place of our worship. When we are not able to worship in our home, how can we then expect God to be comfortable in this same dwelling place, your house, His home? The Jewish word describes it so well. A dira is for the animals, because God is not in it. The dira is the place where God resides. In that same way, we see the parallel between the inhabitants of the dira and the inhabitants of the dira. It is God in the Holy Spirit who is within you, which is not in the lives of the animals. Thus, having God in our house makes it a place that is set apart, a place that is sanctified for God, a holy place, a place of shalom. Where God is, there is shalom. As we have the Word of God in our hearts and in our minds, available at each and every moment, the Scripture also tells us to have our houses made into a dira instead of a dir. As people, we have received the Holy Spirit to be part of us, to fuse with our spirit, and with that, our house and our household become God's house and God's household. Thus, in this we can see that the two really cannot be separated, and that when we reciprocate God's love for us, there is no other way than also to dedicate our house, our dira, to be God's house. The key for us is that in all the time that we have on our travels, on that highway of salvation, that highway of holiness, we are walking together with all we have with that Holy Spirit, not just in us on Sunday, but all the time, each and every day, each and every minute. That our house is also a time of comfort for the Holy Spirit and a temple to our God. Our time is indeed limited, God's time is not. When we look again at our grandson's birthday, the time he had in anticipation and the time he had in celebration were all a time span set against the experience he had of a lifetime. Our father, in his 80s, has a whole different thought on the passing of 1 week in anticipation than the six-year-old. For God, there is no time. It already happened, and it is also still to pass. Wow. Psalm 139. How beautiful. The creation of the world we live in. Thank you, Lord. The creation of our day and night. Thank you, Lord. The creation of new life. Thank you, Lord. The ending of our life, our final breath. Thank you, Lord. We will be with Him in understanding of this eternity. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, from the Common English Bible. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. We are together on that highway to salvation, and now it is a new season and a new time to bring as many people with us as possible. There is a time of personal growth, there is a season of personal growth, and a time and season of church growth, bringing in the harvest, taking away from Satan, ripping the sheaves out from under his grip and control. Not an easy task, and the fight will be hard, but God said, "The battle is mine." So let us trust in Him, His plan, His time, and His future. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 9 to 22, from the Common English Bible. What do workers gain from all their hard work? I have observed the task that God has given human beings. God has made everything fitting in its time, but has also placed eternity in their hearts without enabling them to discover what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there's nothing better for them but to enjoy themselves and do what's good while they live. Moreover, this is the gift of God, that all people should eat, drink, and enjoy the results of their hard work. I know that whatever God does will last forever. It's impossible to add to it or take away from it. God has done this so that people are reverent before Him. Whatever happens has already happened, and whatever will happen has already happened before, and God looks after what is driven away. I saw something else under the sun. In the place of justice, there was wickedness, and in the place of what was right, there was wickedness again. I thought to myself, God will judge both righteous and wicked people, because there's a time for every matter and every deed. I also thought, where human beings are concerned, God tests them to show them that they are but animals, because human beings and animals share the same fate. One dies just like the other. Both have the same life breath. Humans are no better off than animals because everything is pointless. All go to the same place. All are from the dust. All return to the dust. Who knows if a human being's life breath rises upward while an animal's life breath descends into the earth? So I perceived that there was nothing better for human beings but to enjoy what they do, because that's what they're allotted in life. Who really is able to see what will happen in the future? All is given from God, and all is provided in His time. I pray you understand with me that His time is not our time. My prayer for you is that you are with us, able to enjoy this wonderful plan of God that He has placed upon our lives, and that we are able, with the writer of Ecclesiastes, to enjoy it with every breath we take, with every step we make, enjoying life, every second, every minute, every hour, every day, until Jesus comes. Our time is short. Our mission is large. Our obedience to God must be complete. Our prayer is that each and every one of us will keep that in mind, working together to bring more people on the highway to the New Jerusalem, more people on the highway of righteousness, working on holiness unto the Lord. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, from the Common English Bible. Then He said to His disciples, "The size of the harvest is bigger than you can imagine, but there are few workers." Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.